Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. Again, what a blessing the music is. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, go ahead and look with me to the book of Joshua chapter 5 tonight. Joshua chapter 5, Wednesday nights, we've been in a Bible study going through the life of Joshua, the life of Joshua. And even before we ever got into the book of Joshua, there's a whole lot there to learn. And whatever God has recorded for us, it's for us to learn from. And so what a blessing the life of Joshua has already been and what we've already studied. Once they got to the Jordan River, we find that he had them to sanctify themselves. In chapter 3 and verse 5, and the importance of understanding sanctification. And then in chapter 4, it's right after they crossed over the Jordan. And if you remember that the second crossing of the miracle of the crossing of water, the first was an exodus, and the Jordan would be the entrance, exiting the old life and an entrance into the new life. And so as soon as they got over the Jordan, then God had them, and chapter 4 reveals it all, to establish memorials. And that's what we looked at last week. And memorials are something that are there for us, but it's also there for a lost world to observe so that we can point them to those memorials. If they have questions, not only the children having questions, but a lost person having questions about the Bible, questions about the church, a question about whatever it is that we have established to allow us to remember. And chapter 4 and verse 24, the very last verse said this, that all the people of the earth might know. All the people of the earth, the memorials that God had the nation of Israel to establish after crossing Jordan, this is history. This is something that the lost world, if they will look at true history, they'll find the miracles of God in taking slaves out of Egypt across the wilderness desert, and then giving them, allowing them to walk over the Jordan River on dry ground, and then allowing them to possess the land of Canaan, a land that God had given to Israel. Okay, this is history. And God says that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. God's people need to reverence him forever. But the world can know that there is a God if they would just look at the history of humanity. And boy, we won't get into a lot more of that. But the idea there is that was last week of the memorials. Tonight is chapter 5, and before combat, see, they haven't really went into combat yet. Jericho will be combat. Once they crossed over Jordan, now they're on the other side. They're in the promised land and by the miracle of God, but now they would have to go into combat. And Jericho, one of a fortified city, the one that no one could penetrate the walls of Jericho. But Israel is going to have to do that. So before combat, God orders the circumcision of Israel. Now, I know that's not a real a pleasant topic, but it is one that we need to understand. It is important that we understand it. And so, look, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read chapter 5, verses 1 down to verse 9. Before combat, chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, when they heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now, all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness. To all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised. For they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way for the 40 years in the wilderness. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their place in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal, a rolling unto this day. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, again, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing us an opportunity to be in church once again. And I pray tonight, God, that we would open up our hearts and minds to receive the spiritual truth that we can apply to our lives even today. Pray that you would empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so, very powerful passage of scripture here, especially when you understand how it would have impacted God's people. And likewise, it's recorded that it might impact our lives even today. Joshua, under the leadership of Almighty God, knew if they were going to be victorious in battle, they hadn't battled as of yet, as far as being in the will of God, now on this side of Jordan, to take over the land of Canaan. Outside of that, they had battles coming through the wilderness, understanding that, but now they're in the will of God, they're in the land of Canaan, they're ready to possess the land of Canaan, so the being in the land of Canaan is in the will of God. In the will of God, you're going to fight battles. Before they would go to combat and fight the battle, they were going to be circumcised. He knew that if they were going to be victorious in battle, they would have to draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. To rededicate themselves to their covenant. The circumcision revealed the covenant that they had with God. And they had to rededicate. To go back to this understanding of the token that circumcision was given for, was for them to believe in God and have and believe in the covenant that they would have with God. Can I tell you, even today, Christianity, we need to make sure that we are dedicated to God and the covenant we have with Him before we are victorious in battle. If you don't know that you're walking in the will of God, and if you don't know that you have the right relationship with God, when you are facing battles of life, The most important thing that we all need to do as born-again believers is to, if not dedicate, to rededicate our lives. Because a life dedicated to God is what's going to get us through and allow us to be victorious in the battles that we're going to face. Draw nigh to God. That's what they were doing. Now, in the book of Psalms and chapter, let me just read some verses to you. I want you to write them down. Psalm 73 and verse 26 to down to verse 28. The psalmist writes, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart." And today the circumcision is more of our heart today. We're going to see that in the New Testament scriptures. The very same meaning for circumcision in the Old Testament is applied to our hearts in the New Testament. "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish, being uncircumcised. And thou that destroyeth all them that go, thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." What we need to do as we face the battles of life is draw near to God and put my trust in him. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, can I tell you that the Christian life is all about fighting battles? It really is. I want to be victorious, and when I'm victorious, I get peace. When I'm victorious in my walk with Christ, then I have joy. When I'm victorious in my walk with Christ, then I can accomplish what God has me here to accomplish, which gives me purpose in my existence. So it's the battles we fight, whether you're going to win or lose a physical battle after you've won or lost a spiritual battle. If you win the spiritual battle and you're walking closer to God, then you'll win the physical battle. If you lose that spiritual battle and you're far from God, you will lose that physical battle. And you will not have the blessings of victory, which is peace and joy and purpose. The book of Hebrews in chapter 10, Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 22, it says this. Write these verses down. Verse 22, it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. That's what Joshua is having Israel to do. Drawing nigh to God. To know that they will be victorious in battle. James in chapter 4, just a few more pages over, just write it down. But James in chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." Submitting to God's plan for our lives. Submitting to circumcision, if you will. "Submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. But draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to thee." Drawing closer to God is the key to winning the battles of life. That's why the temptation to flee from God is so great. Because Satan's going to work through the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. He's going to work through the world, the flesh, and the devil to get you to do the opposite of what you need to do to be victorious. And so you're going to fight those spiritual battles that's going to try to get you away from God. It's going to try to get you to blame God. It's going to try to get you to continue to question God instead of have faith and trust. Faith and trust is where the victory comes from. Yeah. So drawing closer to God is the key to winning the battles of life. For Old Testament Israel, it's what circumcision stood for. Did you get a hold of that? Everything that we study about the Old Testament circumcision is a biblical principle that is confirmed by a New Testament scripture. Everything about the Old Testament, if there's principles that apply to our lives today, then we learn the biblical principle on why they were commanded to do what they were doing. Say, for instance, the animal sacrifice, the blood sacrifices. Today, I mean, no one can understand blood sacrifice being the will of God, but it was a biblical principle. Amen. It was a command with a biblical principle to prepare humanity for the ultimate blood sacrifice. But when Jesus came, he became the sacrificial lamb, and he was sacrificed his own body. He shed his own blood one time for sins forever, doing away with all the other, but establishing the fact that Jesus, he was our blood sacrifice. So that is a New Testament truth, revealing to us an Old Testament principle. The Old Testament principle is animal sacrifice. Never was God's will, never was God's perfect will, but it was exactly what mankind needed to fully understand that Jesus became a sacrificial lamb. Circumcision. As a spiritual act, never was intended. Why we don't have it today. Circumcision today is out of cleanliness. It's out of an understanding that it helps prevent diseases. But it hasn't got a spiritual act. The act of circumcision today is not spiritual. But the principle of circumcision is what we're to hold on to. That is spiritual. Now, I know you probably, maybe you're confused, maybe not. Maybe you're trying to cover up your children's ears. I don't know. you got to deal with all these things, amen? And so you have to understand where it came from, how it's to be applied to our lives even today. Old Testament Israel, drawing nigh to God was what circumcision stood for. First of all, it would represent their belief in God and his covenant. Their belief in an almighty God and the covenant that he would establish with Israel through Abraham. Chapter, if you look, go back there with me, first of all, to Joshua, chapter 5, and verse 4. And this is the cause why. God said, I want you to understand, this is why Joshua did this. He did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even of the men of war, died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Every one of them knew of the reason for circumcision, knew that it was connected to Abraham, knew that it was connected to a covenant with God. They all knew that. But now all the people that came out were circumcised. They were aware of that. But all the people that were born in the wilderness, they're in the wilderness for 40 years. It's the next generation of soldiers. All the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. They had not been carrying on that throughout the 40 years in the wilderness. And so none of them understood the true meaning of why they needed to have this done. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war which came out of Egypt were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land. So it has to do with showing them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us. Somehow this covenant related to circumcision was also an understanding of the promise of God and what God would provide for them. He's going to give them a land that it floweth with milk and honey. And their children whom he raised up in their stead, them, Joshua, circumcise. For before that, they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. All them had been, after leaving Egypt, but none for the 40 years of wandering, because they're outside the will of God. They're not in the will of God exiting Egypt. They failed to go into the entrance with the Red Sea the first time through. And so for 40 years, they're out in the wilderness, not to draw nigh to God, but to die in the wilderness without knowing, without experiencing the promised land. Genesis chapter 17. Everybody with me tonight? Okay, it's good stuff once you understand it. Genesis chapter 17, this is where it began. This is what the Bible says about it, an understanding of this. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 6. Talking about Abraham. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful. Abraham, I'm going to make you exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generation for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. This is what I'm going to do. This covenant is going to be, I'm going to be your God, you're going to be my people. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. That's what God's saying. This is many years previous, but this is what God was working up to with Israel. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. And this is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. It's a covenant. It's for you and the people to understand your belief in me and my promises to you in a covenant. See, today, we must believe that we are God's children. And as God's children, He will watch over us. If you're going to fight battles, and you will, what's the most important thing for you to realize? God is real. I believe in God. Not only do I believe in God, I know Him to be my Heavenly Father, which makes me God's child, whom He loves, whom if He would sacrifice His only begotten Son for me, how could I ever doubt His love for me? When I'm facing the, whatever it might be in this life, as long as I know that Almighty God is real and I am His child and He's watching over me, and all things will work together. Even though it might not seem like it, you don't understand it all. It didn't say we'd understand it all, but by faith we just believe it to be true because God is who He is. Who am I to tell God what to do in regards to me, His child? As a child, I look to Him. You're God, I'm not. You have all wisdom, I don't. You have all knowledge, I'm limited. I just want to draw nigh to You. And as I draw nigh to You, I'm prepared for whatever battles I will face. The last place you want to be in facing the battles is in the wilderness. You're going to die in the wilderness without the peace of God. Wow. John chapter 10, Jesus wanted us to understand this as well. In John chapter 10, again, write it down. Let me read it to you. John 10 and verse 27. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them by name. I love that. When the music, message, and song goes right hand in hand with the message, it'll be preached. I know them. And because they know Me, they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No matter what we go through, to know whatever it might be, it's only temporal in this life. It doesn't take away the pain, not necessarily, and the hurt and all that, but it adds a different dimension to it all. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man, don't fear men, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. If you're saved this morning and you are desiring to walk close to God, and as you're desiring to walk close to God, God says to you, you're My child. Not only did I send My Son to die for you, and you're in His hand, but not only are you in the hand of Christ, you're in the hand of God the Father. That's a double protection. And no man's able to take you out of that. Amen. That's good stuff. It really is. That's what circumcision represented. A dedication to belief in God and His covenant promises. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Let me read this to you. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Our faith to know that we have a living Savior. A faith to know that we have the promises of an Almighty God. Faith to know that we are secure in His hands. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You're saved. All you have to do is draw close to him. All you have to do is enter into his will. Don't live in the wilderness. That's a choice. Enter into his will. Verse 13, he says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." And this is the confidence. Not only do you know that you're saved, but you're confident knowing this, that we have in, no, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Means that you can have confidence in your prayer life and knowing that when you talk to God and pray to God, he hears your voice and he answers your prayer according to his will for your life, whatever that might be. And if it's not exactly the way that you prayed it to be, God will give you the grace to accept it and move on with a victorious Christian life. Isn't that great? So first of all, we find that circumcision would represent their dedication to a belief in God and his covenant. The second thing the circumcision would represent it was identification. Identification. In Joshua chapter 5, go back to our text here. In Joshua chapter 5 and verse 7, "And their children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised by the way." I want them to be circumcised so that they can identify with the promise and the covenant of God. So when they were circumcised, then they would have understood the reasoning for that. Genesis 17 says, verse 11, "And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token." This act will be a token of the covenant between me and you. Identification, that you know, identifies you with me. This is not something that everyone could see. But it's something that every male child realized, especially if you didn't have it done until you're 40 years old. And a soldier, every time you'd have any thoughts toward that, you would say, "That is me identifying with my God." Now that was no, again, that's Old Testament. What's a token today? Or a sign? A token means a sign. For you to know that you desired to identify with Jesus Christ. You know what that was? That only you know. Only you know whether or not you're saved. That's your belief in God and your faith to receive Christ as Savior. But if you are saved, then there's an act that Jesus established for us to publicly identify ourselves with Christ. Because the Bible says over in the book of Romans in chapter 10, Romans in chapter 10, this is important. In Romans in chapter 10 and verse 11, it says, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth, you are saved, you believe that there's a God, and you believe in the covenant of God. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in the covenant? Yes. Then this right here, this act, is going to allow you to not be ashamed, but it's going to be a token for you to identify yourself with God. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 makes it clear. What? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? After you get saved, because Jesus, the blood of Christ, forgives and cleanses us of our sin, should we continue in sin? Does grace allow us to continue in sin? God forbid. You're a new creature in Christ. Put away the old man. Put on the new man. We've seen that in sanctification. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer to sin? If I know that I've been saved, and I know that I believe in an almighty God, and I believe in the covenant with God, how can I live the way I lived before I believed in God? Believing in God and understanding his will for my life, I must, if I truly believe, I must identify with him. So how shall I live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as, it's symbolic, it's a sign, it's a token, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I am baptized to say I publicly want to identify with the death and the burial and the resurrection of my Savior, Jesus Christ, and I want to be called a Christian. It identified them as the children of God. Salvation is something that only you know whether or not you truly believe and truly have received. But you can perform, you can publicly present yourself to identify with Jesus Christ. And you know whether or not you want to do that. And you know whether or not you already have done that. If you have done that, understand what you did. And that is once after salvation for the rest of your life. And never be ashamed to call yourself a Christian. Never be ashamed to stand up for Christian values. Never be ashamed to let the world intimidate you in your belief. That's what they're doing. Circumcision before the battle, because I got to draw close to God. Circumcision before the battle, because I have to identify. I've got to identify as being one of God's people. Lastly, this evening, circumcision would represent obedience to God's will. That's why some people don't want to claim that they're a Christian, is because they don't want to be obedient to live by Christian values. How sad. How sad. All the soldiers of war, chapter 5, verse 8. Now, they're getting ready to battle their first battle. And Joshua approaches and say, no, this is what we have to do. I guarantee you, all those 40-year-olds said, Joshua, we're getting ready for battle. Can't this wait? Because there's going to come, we're going to have to recover from something like this. The Bible said that it was after they recovered, God waited to go against Jericho until after they had recovered. They might not have understood it. Might not have understood why God's asking you to do what he's asking you to do. You might be saying, maybe when I get older, maybe later on after the battle. But no, you need it for the battle. Because it's obedience to God. God said, this is what I want you to do in preparation for the battles of your life. In Jeremiah chapter 4, I'm just going to read a few more verses, I'm done here. But Jeremiah, I love this. Jeremiah addresses circumcision, the very same understanding that we're looking at here. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallen ground, your fallow ground. Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Circumcise yourselves. Understand the principle of this to the Lord. And take away the foreskins of your heart. Get rid of the flesh that's hindering you from doing the work of God and the will of God. It's the flesh that's rebelling. It's the lust that caused you to rebel. If it wasn't for the flesh, you would willingly serve the Lord. And you willingly do whatever he wants you to do. You got to put that aside. Circumcise yourself to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. It's in your heart. You men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire. God sees the heart. He knows what's going on inside of us. Lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Stop just faking Christianity and commit to Christianity. It's basically what he's saying. One more verse and we're done. Romans in chapter 2. Verse 28 and verse 29. Romans chapter 2. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward of the flesh. But he is a Jew, if you will. He's trying to connect the children of God, which is one inwardly. It's not circumcision that makes you a child of God. That's Old Testament principle taught and understood by New Testament scripture. He is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. I trust that just brings a whole new understanding to your hearts and their minds concerning that biblical token of circumcision. Before they began to battle the enemy, and this is a principle, they would need to draw closer to their God out of a pure heart and conscience. Are you in a battle? You getting ready to face a battle? Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to the flesh. Don't run from God. Get out of the wilderness. Get into the promised land and be circumcised. That means rededicate yourself to your faith and to the covenant that we have with Christ. If I could have every head bowed tonight, every eye closed tonight. Deep, I know, I understand, but powerful. Because we face battles. We never know what a day may bring. Are you ready? Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. He'll be there for you. Increase your faith. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth and of the word and how we can understand biblical principles and how you have revealed the principle in New Testament scriptures. What a blessing. I trust tonight, Lord, only you know the battles that everyone here tonight is going through and what they're going to be facing as we get closer and closer to the rapture or to even our own death. I pray, God, that we'd be strengthened by this truth. Work in our midst now. Bless this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.